Thanks, Bert. Morning, church. How are you? Good. So welcome to any visitors that we have, and welcome to those who are joining us online. I'm Pastor Nami, if we haven't met. Before I get started, could I please ask all the under 20s to just please come up? I just really would like to pray for you. It was funny, as I was debating in my head there whether to do that or not, Bert came and asked if he could pray for the mothers, you know. So obviously the Lord is wanting to do something. So all the under 20s, if you're not sure, ask your parents if you are under 20. Yeah, Joseph is under 20. So we're just going to pray. Church, if you just want to stretch out your hands, we're just going to pray. I'm just going to kind of dab a bit of oil on you all. This is just like, this is what I feel to do. Thank Joseph. Not too much. Sorry, I thought I was going to lose myself. We're missing a few. Yeah. All right. So I just really felt the Lord just put in my heart to pray for the under 20s. But specifically, it was about just lately one of the things I've been hearing. Doesn't matter where I go. There's something about Gen Z. You guys are the Gen Z, aren't you? Yeah? There's something about Gen Zs and what God is doing spiritually, that the churches are starting to flood with the Gen Zs. They're coming back to church because whatever it is they've been looking for, they have not found, and they're coming back. Under 20, I'll dab some oil on you as well. There you go. Yes, yeah, so they're coming back into the church, but what I really felt was the Lord just kind of saying that he actually wants to arrest you. That's interesting given what Harriet just shared, right, about the chains breaking. But it's that there is an arrest that's coming your way. The Lord wants to arrest you. And I feel like the Lord is saying something about sanctification, that you've been set apart, that there's a work that he has to do in your heart for what he is doing. There is a move of God, and it involves your participation. And I also heard that it's like the Lord is saying that you are to run. And as you run, you will run barefooted. Don't be afraid to run barefooted, because there is a grace that comes with that. What that means is that there are things the Lord may speak into your heart that you're not sure about, and you may have questions about it, and you may hesitate to step into that. But the Lord is saying there's a grace that I give to you for everything that I've called you to. There are spaces that us older people may never be able to enter by virtue of our age, but the Lord has placed you in certain places. You're in schools, you're in colleges, wherever you are, the Lord has placed you there. You are a light in that place. Do not be afraid to be set apart. Do not be afraid to be different. So church, let's just pray. If you stretch out your hands. Father, we thank you for this generation. We thank you for what is happening all around the world with the Gen Zs. We thank you for these young people in our church. And I just pray for every single one of them, Lord, that they would stand in confidence, knowing that you do speak to them, that you say, my sheep hear my voice, and that is regardless of age. They are your sheep, and I pray, Father, that they would not fear to run. They would not fear to speak your word. They would not fear to use their voice. They would not fear to share the gospel with the people that need to hear it. Thank you, Lord, for their lives, and I pray with that oil that's been placed on their foreheads, that they may know that you are with them and they have every authority you've given them to run. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. How is everyone? Great. There's been a few people sick, so it's the end of the year. People are tired, right? That usually happens around this time. But yeah, glad to see you all. Nice that you could come to church. So yesterday I was making dinner with my youngest, Gugu. And she said something interesting. You know, every parent just wants their child to know God, right? They want their child to have a relationship with God. And we love it when we hear them talk about prayer or they mention something about the Bible. You know, you just can breathe a little better. So she said something along the lines of, oh, Mom, you need to pray for me. And I was like, ooh, what's this about? And I thought she was going to say just something really amazing. And I said, why is that? And she said, oh, because I put too much salt in my steak. I was like, right, okay. So, you know, one minute you think, okay, they get it. But for actually, that's the simplicity, I guess, of a child and the faith of a child. It's like, why not? Why not pray for every little thing, including putting too much salt in your steak, right? I don't know what was going on in her head. A few weeks ago, I attended a conference somewhere, a Christian conference. And funny thing, I was slain in the spirit, right? I resisted it for a while, but it happened. You know, they called people up for prayer for different things. And I'd gone up, and there was someone standing behind me. I don't know him. I don't know. Nobody knew me there. And I resisted for a while until someone came on stage and said something along the lines of, can you hear the cry of the people? You know, that was talking about Moses and when God spoke to Moses about the suffering of people. And as soon as he said that, I could no longer resist. I was like, okay, whatever happens, happens. Hopefully this man will catch me and I won't bump. I just let go and I was there. I don't know how long I was there for, but I do know that it was long enough for the people to start getting worried because they started to feel my pulse. Because by this time, everyone who had gone up for prayer, I think, had gone back to their seats. But the Spirit of God was so strong, I just couldn't move. So I'm lying there, they're feeling my pulse. I'm someone who generally, my body feels cold. So they felt me and I felt really cold. And I could hear them talking and planning what to do. And next thing, my alarm goes off. I have an alarm to take some medication in the afternoon. So my alarm goes off, of course, in my handbag. And my wristwatch as well is ringing. And this is by this time, it's quiet. There's about 6,000 people in this auditorium. So my alarm's going off. I'm lying there. Nobody knows me. I've left my daughter at the child care. And I'm thinking, what's going to happen when they finish? And I'm still lying here and I can't get up. All I was thinking as I lay there was, somebody please open my bag, just switch off my alarm. Eventually, someone did. They opened my bag and they grabbed my alarm, but of course, on the alarm it said meds. So the panic rose, I think, for them, that okay, we've got this person who's lying here, her body is cold, she's not waking up, the alarm says meds, you know, what do we do? I think they would have called an ambulance on me. Eventually, I got up and I was able to, I left not long after that, but the Lord did something there. It reminded me of the fact that sometimes God will bring you to a place where He does arrest you. He'll bring you to a place where it's just you and Him and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. And He does that for a purpose. He does that because there is something He wants to say to you. Now, for you, it may not be you lying on the ground in a place where nobody knows you. For you, it may actually be some things just not working out the way you planned them. Because the Lord is trying to get your attention. Sometimes we blame the devil for things that are either our doing or actually the Lord wanting our attention. Okay. Today we're talking, continuing on our series on Philippians. Pastor Stephen and Andrew Baker have done a really good job of just opening up the Word of God for us. And I encourage you to watch that online. I know people are very busy, but when we're doing a series, it's really helpful to kind of know what else has been said up to this point. But a few highlights for myself was, actually, it's okay if you want to, okay. So Pastor Stephen spoke about true freedom comes from being yielded completely to Christ. And he challenged us with this question. Am I a slave to Christ or a slave to something else? And Andrew shared last week about the secret to true greatness is humility. It was in Philippians 2, verse 9 to 11, as he was reading, we heard about Christ's humility. That he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. It's one thing to have death, it's another to have death on a cross. That's how much he humbled himself. And it says that when he did that, God exalted him to the highest place. And God gave him the name that is above every name. Not some names, every name, anything that has a name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? All to the glory of God the Father. I want you to hold on to what I've just said, because that lays the foundation for my message today, which is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 18. And I'm reading from the NIV. It says, therefore, remember what I've just said. He humbled himself. God exalted him, gave him a name that is above every other name. Therefore, because of that, consequently, as a result, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast, this is Paul, on the day of Christ, that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. If you're taking notes, the title of my message, I think you've already seen it, is Shine Brightly for Jesus. Shine Brightly for Jesus. In verse 12, we see the Apostle Paul commending the Philippians for their obedience and encouraging them to do this even more in his absence. He introduces what I've called the salvation workout, where he encourages them to continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Please note that you can only continue what you were already in the habit of doing. Continue means don't stop. Keep going. Make a determination that no matter what happens, you're not going to give up on the workout. You're not going to give up on the workout. I don't know about you, but my relationship with workouts has never really worked out. I don't know how many people can relate to this, but every year, for the last 20 plus years, without fail, I am setting a goal around being healthier and fit. Can anyone relate to that? Health goals, fitness goals. So first there's that decision that this is it. I'm doing it. Often with very high levels of motivation. Walking schedules, running apps that I download. I've done kickboxing at some point. You buy all the equipment. I've got, I still have it. You've got these thick ropes. If you watch CrossFit, you would know the ropes, right? Those thick ropes that, I don't know what they're meant to do, but I've got one. You got these thick ropes, right? I've got the skipping rope. I've got the stepper. I've got the dumbbells of various sizes. And then, of course, I open a new folder in my notes app, right? And then I engage in the planning, detailing how I'm going to execute all this stuff. And then, of course, I record how I will review and make any necessary adjustments if it does not work. So a lot goes into it. Now, of course, because life happens, life gets busy slowly. Usually within a few weeks, what happens? What happens? Pardon? Yes, I start to lose motivation. The enjoyment is not longer there. The benefits are not so evident because fatigue kicks in. And eventually, the goal falls off my radar. Who's had that happen recently? Where you had a goal, okay, a few people, thank you for your honesty, may not necessarily have been fitness, but you had a goal. You were determined, you planned for it, and then it just falls off. This can happen with our spiritual goals as well, if you're setting spiritual goals. Goals that help us to work out our salvation. Whether it's your Bible reading, your prayer time, your fasting, going to church, fellowship with other believers. So it's not that many of us are not trying to work out our salvation, whatever we understand that to be. But we have to be careful to note this. Working out your salvation has nothing to do with earning your salvation, because it's a free gift of God that only comes through believing, confessing, and accepting that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for our sins. Secondly, unlike motivation, which can come and go depending on circumstances, depending on our mood, our energy levels, in order to sustain that salvation workout, we must let obedience be our guide. That's the difference. The Apostle Paul is asking believers to be disciplined and to make a choice that is rooted in the revelation of who Jesus is. It cannot be based on anything else. It cannot be based on how we're feeling, on our mood. The one who humbled himself to endure death on a cross. The one whom God exalted to the highest place. The one God gave the most significant name to ever exist in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. He's saying, obey based on the revelation you have about that. Not only did he ask them to continue to work out their salvation, he emphasizes that this disciplined choice we're to make must be done with fear and trembling. Now, this speaks of being God conscious. It speaks of reverence. Bible scholars highlight that when Paul says with fear and trembling, he doesn't mean to live in a state of panic or dread of God, but rather to live with a deep sense of awe, humility, and seriousness, recognizing God's power and holiness. Now, the beauty of adopting this posture is in knowing that God, not man, is the one who does the work in us. God works. When we go to verse 13, it says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his purpose." There's freedom in knowing it's not you or I that must work to fulfill the purposes of God in our lives. If we have yielded completely to him as our master, then we can rest. There's no need to worry, no need to analyze, to overthink, or stress about the will of God and the things we are to do, because it is God who works in you to will and to act. A lot of us spend so much time worrying about what is God asking me to do. God has always worked to fulfill his purposes by providing prophets, priests, kings, judges, ultimately Jesus Christ, who fulfills all of those roles perfectly. Prophet, priest, king, all found in the one man. And then God sends the Holy Spirit, empowering all believers, you and I, to live out God's will and to fulfill his purposes. The Holy Spirit, our helper. But a lot of us forget to actually ask the helper for help. When we are in a situation, the Holy Spirit, we think about that later, after we've contacted everybody else. With that same Spirit came the gift to equip the saints, the gift to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the pastors, the evangelists. Once we recognize that it is indeed God who does the work in us, we allow him something. You know, we allow him to be our master, to be our leader, to be the one who directs us. The apostle adds a warning, though, to the church. After all of that, after he's talked about importance of obedience, he's talked about knowing it's God who does the work, he says this, a warning to the church to not grumble or argue. To grumble and argue no more. Verse 14 says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. A word study of the original Greek meaning of grumbling is, I'd really try to practice this word, gongismos. Gongismos. Meaning low, continuous murmuring or muttering, which can describe private complaining. I don't know if you know any people who are like that. Discontent expressed quietly or sullenly. Negative speech about authority or circumstance. A subtle, bitter attitude that can poison relationships and unity. Often passive, aggressive in tone. Gongismos. In contrast, though, Paul calls all believers to do a more positive, to have a more positive, humble attitude. He says, do everything, not just some things, everything, all things, with no grumbling or arguing. I don't know about you as you hear all of that, but for me, although the idea of not grumbling seemed like a breeze, I was like, yeah, I get that. No need to grumble. That's easy. Not arguing was a lot more challenging. See, I grew up enjoying a verbal challenge. I was timid and anxious as a child at school, but at home, I was very vocal. See, I grew up with my aunt and her husband, who was a scientist. He was a scientist at heart. He was a geologist that placed very high value on academia. So some of my fondest memories with him were around debating matters of faith versus science. I loved it. I think I got a dopamine hit from that. I enjoyed that challenge. I liked arguing. Unfortunately for me, I took that with me into all my relationships. Or mainly, you know, eventually I met my now husband, got married, and I did not know any other way of communicating but to debate everything. Who knows, that can be exhausting for the other person. It wasn't exhausting for me. argue about everything, like, you know. But over time, I learned you have to choose your battles. Don't argue just to win the argument. It's not really a win. But like I said, there was something, I don't know if you know about this, but there's something that happens in your brain for some people when you argue. There is a dopamine hit. It's like a fix, right? Have you ever heard of people who just like drama? Do you know any people who like drama? And you just find hanging around them exhausting? It's because they're getting, in their brain, there is actually a dopamine hit. This is science. I'm not making this up. There's actually something that they get. And when they are not arguing, they feel lost. Lost, because they get something from that. Paul puts forward that if the Philippians, and by extension, you and I, the Church of Jesus Christ, observe these instructions, these things that have been mentioned, of no grumbling, no arguing, something significant would happen. We look at verse 15. He says, don't grumble, don't argue, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I'll be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. The significant thing that will happen when we adopt this attitude is there is a becoming where you are blameless and pure. There is a becoming where you are children of God without fault. And ultimately, you will shine among them like stars in the sky. The goal of living without complaint or division is to become pure and faultless, reflecting God's character. The image of shining like stars shows believers as lights of truth and goodness in a dark world. For various reasons, some people, when they hear that, shine among them like stars in the sky, there's resistance for various reasons. Some people have learned to hide. Some people have learned to play average, to play small, because they don't want to shine. They don't want to stand out because they think it's being arrogant. I've experienced all of these things of not wanting to shine, of hiding, of playing average. But one that stands out is how I used to be really embarrassed when I was young, teenager mainly, embarrassed about my complexion. Not the color of my skin, my complexion. You see, I was born to parents from two different tribes, and often you can tell which tribe someone is from by, or what region of the country they're from by their complexion. By whether they're light in complexion or dark in complexion. My mother's tribe was generally darker in complexion than my father's tribe, which was lighter. But of course, I grew up around my mother's side of the family. And there was this sense of just not fitting in. I felt I was too light-skinned for the people of the tribe, so I felt like I just didn't fit in. So for many years, I was self-conscious, felt like an imposter, and had very little confidence to show up in life with pride and shine, be myself. And a feeling that comes with that is shame. I want you to think about this for yourself. What does that look like for you? For me, it was my complexion. For you, what is that thing that caused you to shrink and not show up and not want to shine? Shame will remove your sense of sense of identity and your sense of belonging. Shame is what the enemy uses to keep your light dim. I want to say that again. Shame is what the enemy uses to keep your light dim. A lot of us are not fighting major sins. The devil can't tempt us with much, but he sure has found a way to cause us to minimize the power of God in our lives. To be careful not to appear like we're too much, that we're too spiritual, that we're too powerful. But you and I are to shine, meaning stand out among them in this generation that is immersed in darkness. To shine like stars in the sky. I can't remember the last time I went outside and just looked at the stars. I used to love doing that. It's an incredible thing to do when stars are shining. That's how you are supposed to show up, a star that shines. But a lot of us find a way to justify why we're not shining. Oh, it's not my personality. It's not part of what we do. It's not our culture. The question I pose to you is this. Will you shamefully hide or humbly shine? Will you shamefully hide or humbly shine? You see, one requires that you be self-conscious. And the other requires that you be God-conscious. One requires that you dim your light and only show what you think people will approve of. The other requires that you allow your light to shine, as the word says, before all men, that they may see your good works and glorify the Father. That is true humility. One requires that you hide in the background, and the other requires that you fully show up. I'm asking, are you fully showing up in every platform that the Lord has given you? Are you fully showing up, or are you shamefully hiding? One causes you to be lost in the crowd as you play average, and the other distinguishes you as you realize this, that your light is not really yours to hide. It's God's. It's God's light. So in conclusion, verse 16 to 18, we see the Apostle Paul encouraging the church to live their lives according to the gospel. He talks about hold to the word of life. And by doing so, you become light in a dark world. We have to hold on to the word of life. He talks about being proud of their faith. Could I have the band up, please? Paul states that if the Philippians live out their faith, he can be proud of his labor and not feel like his experiences, his sacrifice was a waste. And finally, he talks about rejoicing. That even if he is to lose his life where he's being poured out for their sake, he will be glad and asks also for them to share in that. Could we stand up, please? With every eye closed, I just want you to think about, what did God drop in your spirit? I said a lot of things. Some of those things will have gone in and out. But something, few things, one thing, stayed with you. I want you to recognize that that thing that stayed with you is God putting a finger on something. We don't have to work for our salvation. It's a free gift. But we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But in order to do that, we need to know where we are hiding. Where are the crevices where we place ourselves? Where are the dark rooms where we are hiding? Where are the doors that we have closed? What have we shut ourselves from to protect ourselves? Somebody's hurt you. Somebody's offended you. Somebody has done something that has caused you to shut yourself away from them. And although that's understandable from a human perspective, from God, it's not understandable. God is not saying, I understand, even though he does. God is saying, shine. And the shining of the things of God, the kingdom of God, is not like the shining of the world, where it is about me, where it is about my popularity, where it is about lifting me up. The shining for Jesus, the shining of the kingdom of God, is bigger than that. That shining is about legacy. That shining is about generations. That shining is about getting out of your own way. A lot of us are standing in our own way. A lot of us are our own worst enemies because we are in hiding. So I just want to pray. In your mind, just hold on to whatever that thing is. What is that thing that is causing you shame? What somebody did to you? What somebody said to you? It's causing you to hide, and it's causing you to dim the light. So with that in mind, while you're holding on to that, I'm just going to pray. And I want you to imagine that you, in your mind, you're holding on to that thing. The same way I'm holding my fist up, you are holding that thing up. That thing might be fear of rejection. That thing might be fear of failure, whatever it is. It might even be fear of being known, fear of being powerful. Hold it with your hand in your as an image. And we're praying with that. I'm imagining that there's fists held up with issues of shame. Thousands of them. You may have multiple things that are causing you to dim your light, his light. Father, I just thank you for your children. And I thank you, Father, for obedience. I thank you for obedience where we respond when you call. And I pray, Father, with every issue that somebody is, all of these people, all of us are holding on to, we release that to you. Because as we release, we give you permission to hand us something else. I pray for the light to shine for everyone in this room. Everyone who is covered themselves with a blanket of shame, I remove that blanket of shame right now in Jesus' name. I said that blanket no longer belongs there. It never did. It's what the devil decided to cover you with, and you lay there and you took it. And so this morning, I'm removing that blanket. And I say, shine. And I speak against any thought that would say shining is arrogance. Because that in itself is the tactic of the enemy. We call that false humility. I pray against false humility. The belief that you are doing the right thing in God's name. By not shining, by not using your voice, by not praying for people, by not speaking out, by not standing in the authority that the Lord Jesus Christ has given you. That's false humility, straight from the pit of hell. I speak against that in the name of Jesus. We've removed the shame blanket and we're pulling down that stronghold of false humility. I pray against that spirit of religion. It doesn't belong in this room. It doesn't belong with the people of God. And so, still with that image in your mind, allow yourself to see the love of God. allow yourself to see the peace of God. Bible said, receive the Holy Spirit. And I'm saying this morning, receive the help from the Helper. Join us on this. Church, let's just sing. I don't know if you sang this before. A holy song.
Holy. Holy. Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb.
I sense the Lord saying to some people here, you are not like a dog that goes back to its vomit. If God has set you free, you are free indeed. There is no need to keep going back. That's a lie of the enemy. There is no need to feel guilty about the things that the Lord has set you free from. There is no need to feel shame about the things that were done to you. The Lord has set you free. You are not like a dog that goes back to his vomit. You're going to have to be disciplined throughout this week to repeat that to yourself. When you find yourself wanting to get into a state of depression, spiral into a space of depression because of your past. Jesus. I want to give people an opportunity who've never known Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Still with every eye closed, if that is you, you hear us talking about shining bright for Jesus, but you've never experienced that light that is Jesus. He is the light of the world. So we're just going to pray. If you could pray with me, the whole church. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to the cross. I know that I am a sinner. Forgive me for my sins. Come into my life and be that light. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Still with every eye closed, if you pray that prayer for the first time or it was a rededication, please raise your hand so I can see you. If that was the first time you prayed that prayer, Okay, no one. Father, we just thank you. I thank you for your people. I thank you for your church. I thank you, Father, that we are going to walk different, that we are going to speak different, that we're going to use our voices, that the blanket of shame has been removed. So we're going to walk tall. We're going to shine for Jesus, not out of arrogance, but out of revelation of who Jesus Christ is. That he humbled himself, that he died on a cross, and that God exalted him and gave him the name that is above every other name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.